Greetings of grace and mercy and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That song we just sang, or the first praise song, God on the Mountain, has some special memories for me. In 2013, I lost my dad and two of my uncles. My first uncle, he died in March, and then I lost another uncle in April. And then my dad passed in October. And that was a time in our family that was, well, let's just say that song, God on the Mountain, was our theme song. Because we hadn't lost anybody. I grew up pretty protected from that. I hadn't really experienced what it was to lose somebody you love. And then suddenly it just hit us like a wave, and it was a really tough year. And so that song carried my family through that difficult time. It's a good reminder that God, the God who's the God during our good times and on the mountain, he's still God in the valley. When things get tough, especially, God is there. He's there to carry us through. And that's really where faith is put to the test. And so I just wanted to share that with you as we get into our text then. This is the second Sunday after Epiphany, and the Epiphany, yeah, what does that mean, right? Because we use these words and these terms that a lot of times that they've fallen out of use in our everyday language, so we don't really kind of know what they mean, so I would like to explain it for you so we all kind of know what it means. We probably use it in our everyday language. I can only think of one place that we use it. If you hear somebody say that I had an epiphany or somebody had an epiphany, it's like this great sudden like realization of something happening. That's what how we would use it. And it really is kind of the same. It's the same sense as it's used here in the season of Epiphany or the celebration of Epiphany. So the word just simply means appearing. So it's just like something just appears, where it wasn't known before, but now all of a sudden it's known. And so we celebrate the Epiphany of Jesus Christ. So he wasn't known before, they didn't know who he was, and then all of a sudden it was like shown that this is who he is. He's God's Son. And so that's what our text is going to be today. It's going to be about John the Baptist having an epiphany. Okay, so it's from John chapter 1, and we begin the reading with verse 29, and we read through verse 42. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Again, we read in Jesus' name. The next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel.' And John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.' The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas," which means Peter. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. These are your words, O gracious Father. We ask that you would speak to us today through these words, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I said, this is John the Baptist's realization. Sometimes it's hard for us to keep track of the Johns because John is the gospel writer, but there's also somebody called John the Baptist or John the Baptizer. He wasn't a Baptist in our usage of the word Baptist. But anyway, so John the Baptist is the one who John, the gospel writer, is speaking about here. And remember a few weeks ago, I think it was, that we had the lesson of Jesus, his baptism. Actually, no, that was last week. Yeah, Jesus' baptism was last week. And that's where John was baptizing Jesus. Well, the text today takes place the day after. It says the next day. Right after Jesus was baptized, then he comes toward John, and John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Like, look, here he is. The amazing thing about this is that John didn't know. He didn't know who Jesus was, even though Jesus was his cousin. Remember, John was born from Elizabeth, Mary's older cousin. And so Jesus and John are cousins. But he hadn't come to realize yet, it hadn't been shown to him yet exactly that who Jesus is, that this is the Son of God, this is actually the Messiah. But now the epiphany had happened to him at Jesus' baptism, because God had told him that the one that you see the Spirit descending on like a dove, that's the Son of God. And so he visibly saw that happen, and then he realized this is God's Son. And so then he makes this great declaration. I think this is the greatest thing that a human being could ever say. He says, "Behold," which means look, like look, "the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's such a profound statement, that all of the sin of the entire world, this one person, he's going to take it all away. Look at him. That whole thing is just freighted with meaning. The Lamb of God. It goes back to the Old Testament sacrifice. You know, they would understand this very well. In those days, they would, if they sinned, they would have to take a lamb and they would go to the temple, and their sin would essentially be put on that lamb, and that lamb would have to die, and it would have to be sacrificed for your sin. So if you sinned, you had to go into your flock of sheep, and everyone had sheep, and that was just how things were back then. You go and find the best looking lamb in your whole flock, and you would take that thing to the priest for a sin offering. Because you had sinned, you would bring that lamb and it would die for your sin. So that's the meaning behind this. The Lamb of God, it's saying that here's this one lamb who's going to take away all of the sin of all of the people. In other words, he's going to be sacrificed. He's going to die. And so John the Baptist, he points to him and he says, "Look, here he is. He's arrived." And so that's the great revelation of God's Son to the world. And that's worth celebrating, isn't it? It's worth all of us celebrating, because guess what? Our sin is there too. Our sin was put on Jesus. And so Jesus appeared for all of us. He was revealed. It's like, here he is, the great unveiling. It's like when an artist or a sculptor or something makes a piece and they keep it like hidden. They put a big sheet over it and there's like a ceremony or something, and then at the right moment they pull the sheet off of it, and it's just like a great unveiling. And that's what this is. John the Baptist gets the privilege of ushering in Jesus and pointing to him. And this is really the crowning moment of John's ministry. After this point, John has served his purpose. He only preached for 6 months, and then he was beheaded, and he died for preaching the truth. But his job was done here. And from this point on, we'll see John will just fade from the scene, and it's all about Jesus from this point on. Even John's disciples will start to follow Jesus, which we already see happening here in our text. Andrew, one of John's disciples, he just starts to follow Jesus. And he asks him, like, where are you staying and all this stuff? And he wants to go and start following Jesus and learning from Jesus. And so John would point everybody to Jesus. John says that I must decrease, or he must increase, but I must decrease. In other words, Jesus is going to become more important, and to the point where it's all about him. And that's exactly what happened. And so there's kind of a little background of, and a little history on this thing. And we need to understand these things, because otherwise we hear it, it's like epiphany, what does that mean? And we don't have a sense for we have no understanding of it. And so we need to have an understanding of it. And so Jesus, like I already said, John was given the sign that the one that you see the Spirit descending on, that's the one who's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus does. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit. He makes us new. And I was thinking of when Jesus was baptized, which was last Sunday's lesson, was how the baptism of Jesus, and Pastor Jesse mentioned that. When he was baptized, remember the great thing that came from the clouds, a voice, I don't know if it was a big voice, but it was God's voice, so I'm assuming it was a big voice. But anyway, the voice says, "This is my beloved Son." It's like there already was kind of Jesus is being revealed by the Father, God the Father. But even when we're baptized, it's like we're being shown that we're God's children too. God puts his mark on us in baptism, that we're united to him. It's like we're God's children. And there's a wonderful promise and a wonderful blessing in this for us. And so Jesus was baptized into the whole human race, like into all of us. He became one of us. And we also, when we're baptized into Christ, we put Christ on us. So he was baptized into us, we're baptized into him. So it's like this great union that we're just like, we're connected to Jesus Christ. And God is pleased with us. Because that's what God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And so God is pleased with us because Christ is in us, we're in Christ, and we have this wonderful blessing of being God's children. And so, as I said, John's disciples then will begin to follow Jesus. And there's quite a lesson in this, in following Jesus. Because Jesus asked them, He said, "Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking?" You know, the epiphany, on like the day of Epiphany, the text is always the wise men coming, seeking Jesus. That wise men still seek Jesus. That's ultimate wisdom, to seek Jesus. That's why Jesus asks them, "Who are you seeking?" Now, Jesus is He is our wisdom. Seeking Jesus, that's the whole point. He's our very life. Wise men still seek Jesus. Jesus says to come and you will see. Come and you'll see. So there's an invitation. There's people seeking Jesus. There's an invitation by Jesus. Come. Jesus always invites us to himself. Jesus says later on in this Gospel of John that he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. So Jesus is he's a welcoming shepherd. He's tender. He cares for us. He invites us to come to him. And so he invited these disciples who were following John and began to be very interested in Jesus. He says, come and you will see. And so they go to the place where Jesus is staying, and they start to learn from Jesus. And then an amazing thing happens there. One of the people who was following him, his name was Andrew, and we know Andrew is one of the disciples. Peter and Andrew. I always think of little kids' songs for some reason. Peter, Andrew, James, and John in a sailboat, right? These are the disciples of Jesus. So Peter is the brother of Andrew, but what I really want to focus on here is the name. His name is called Simon. Like, that's his name. But he had been given a new name by Jesus. And the amazing thing happens that, well, first of all, Andrew goes and he finds his brother, Simon. He says, we found the Messiah. Like, it's been shown to us. John is like, he pointed him out, and then apparently the news starts to spread. Like, they realize, like, this is actually the Son of God and the one we've been waiting for. And so I'm sure Andrew goes with a great excitement to get his brother and tell him, Simon, you got to come see. We found the Messiah. And so they go, and he gets his brother, and they brings him to Jesus. But Jesus looks at Simon, and he knows his name. I don't have any indication that Jesus knew him before that, but he knows him now. The lesson here is that Jesus knows us. He knows everybody. He knows everything about him. He says, Simon, your name is Simon. But then the thing is, he gives him another name. He says, now your name is Cephas, which it means stone. It's an Aramaic word. So Jesus gives us a new name. The lesson there is that Jesus knows everything about us. He knows who we are. He knows what we're all about. And he also knows what he's going to do for us. He's going to establish us. I think there's great meaning in Peter's name, Cephas. Rocks are solid things. They don't move. So it's like he's saying that he's going to establish him. When Jesus asked Peter, whom do men say that I am? He said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah. But then Jesus asked Peter, well, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told Peter that, I tell you, you are Cephas. You are rock. That's what it is. Or stone, that's what the name means. He says, and the gates of hell, he says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he's telling him that, he gives him this name meaning stone. And it's like he's telling him that you are going to be established. I'm going to establish you forever. And hell itself, with all its might, will come to bear on you, and it won't be able to overcome you. And the name, this isn't just for Peter, but Peter's like, he's representative of all of us in all the church. That when Jesus gives us a new name, we are established forever. We're his children. Nothing can harm us because Jesus is the Lamb of God. He went to the cross for us. He went to take away the whole world's sin. It's hard for us sometimes to really realize that, yes, this goes all the way into even the new year, 2023. Hard to believe. It's 23 already. But it doesn't wear off. This thing never wears off as each new generation comes, new people are born. It's still the same. It holds power for eternity. And so even our sin, I guess that's what I want to tell you today, is that your sin was placed on the Lamb of God. Just as you are, you can look to Him. And we always need that reminder to look to Jesus. Look to Him in 2023. Because we each have a conscience and we have an awareness of who we are. And we're constantly thinking probably about our old nature and our old name, like Simon. You know, and we're thinking that, you know, this is who I am and I should be better. Even though we know we're Christians and we know that, okay, yeah, Jesus died for my sins and we have this knowledge is always there. But it's always like a nagging thought that, well, I messed up here. I'm not right there. We're always we have this awareness. And that's why we constantly need this reminder, pointed to Jesus. No, look, behold, the Lamb of God. He takes away the sin of the world. Look to Christ. And so the message has not changed. Jesus has appeared. He's appeared for all of us. And we can look to Him. He's washed us. He's made us all new. He's given us a new name. And you can behold the Lamb of God. Rejoice. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Dear gracious Father, we're so thankful for this message, the message of Jesus Christ, that He has come for all of us. He's come to take away all of our sin and to give us eternal life. Dear Lord, we pray that You'd bless each one of us with a special knowledge of this, even for our own personal lives, that You have come for us and that there's nothing that will change that. We thank You for this and we thank You for Your word. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.